interviews from eight officials
at the Radio
and the Department of Health and Human Services. In their request, Democrats cited 88 alleged times that the Trump administration meddled in public health last year. Democrats have been looking into whether Trump appointees tried to edit coronavirus data in the U.S. Thousands are expected to descend on Washington, D.C. today for what's being called a freedom rally for Cuba. Busloads of people are traveling from Florida as well as other parts of the country to demand the Biden administration get involved with humanitarian efforts. The rally is scheduled for 2 p.m. outside the White House. Demonstrators will then march to the Cuban embassy for a rally at 3:30. A Central Florida hospital system is reporting a significant and swift increase in COVID-19 cases. Alan Spencer reports.
As of this morning, AdventHealth had 946 COVID patients in its hospitals in Orange, Osceola, Seminole, Lake, Polk, Volusia, and Flagler counties. That exceeds the peak of about 900 seen in January. Additionally, the daily positivity rate at AdventHealth Centricare remains at near all-time highs. AdventHealth will defer non-time-sensitive elective outpatient surgeries starting tomorrow.
Two U.S. cities are switching up their COVID response amid the spread of the Delta variant. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio will require city employees to either get the coronavirus vaccine or submit to weekly testing. Meantime, the mayor of St. Louis is blasting Missouri's attorney general for filing a frivolous lawsuit to stop her from reinstating a mask mandate. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Bill Wobbly here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting the politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, The Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see a pretty much sunny, calm week ahead. At temperatures, high 70s, low 80s all week long. Mostly clear skies and low temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s in the evening. Have a great week, everybody.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hello, everyone. This is Robin Clare, and I'm the host of Hungry for Answers on Transformation Talk Radio, and I am here on Dr. Pat's show with my very special guest, James Twyman. So I want to share that the way that I met James was actually through his books. I was an avid reader of his many spiritual books, and then I became a spiritual author. And I am a spiritual author for the Ascended Masters. And the Ascended Master that I was speaking with noticed that I was having a hard time. And he said, "Do you need a writing coach?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said to me in the meditation, "Who would you like?" And I said, "James Twyman, of course." And he said, "Done." And so the next day I woke up and James had sent out an email to his thousands and thousands of loyal people and said, "I woke up this morning inspired to be a spiritual author's book coach." And I looked at that and I go, "Oh, I guess that must be for me." And then I signed on, and James, it was a 6-month program, but he stayed with me for at least 12 months, maybe 18, to get the book correct. And then he wrote the introduction to the book. So, you know, when you put your heart into a book and then someone else is reading it along with you and giving you advice, you develop a connection that is very, very close-knit. And so from that point on, after writing Messiah Within, A Guide to Embracing Your Inner Divinity, as with Jimmy as my writing coach, we became very, very good friends. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to James Twyman.
Thank you so much, Robin. I do remember that experience very well and the whole journey. And it's so great to see how far you've come with that. And here you are hosting the show, and I'm just so honored to be the guest.
Thank you. And this is really what this show is about. It's about listening to your intuition and then following your journey to achieve your destiny. So James has lived an extraordinary journey as a world-renowned New York Times bestselling author, as a musician known as the Peace Troubadour, as a filmmaker. He's the founder of an intentional living community in Mexico, and now he's become a Franciscan brother. So when I was thinking about who could I speak to about this journey, about looking at what may seem like different paths, they're really all part of the same soul journey. And then I'm like, James, of course, because I've never known anyone, maybe other than myself, but you even more than me, who really listens and follows where are they going next and taking the leap. So isn't it true that in reality, all of these leaps may seem diverse, but they're really all connected to your soul journey. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And one might ask, well, what is the soul's journey? And the soul's journey is ultimately to awaken to the truth and the reality that I am and that I've always been, that I will always be. But we forget and we build these identities within this dream world and forget that simple truth. And the world and every experience in it conspires to remind us of who we really are, that we are really the essence of love itself. And we do have great guides, teachers, mystics from every spiritual tradition that teach us this. But the journey ultimately is for me to say yes, to listen, to respond, and to allow that journey to take hold. And one of the other things, Robin, that I've been thinking about and focusing on lately are the obstacles to that journey and the realization that the obstacle is just as much a part of the path as anything else. In fact, it's the obstacle that usually builds us up, makes us stronger, makes us more determined. I actually just heard a beautiful Zen story that illustrates this very well. It's a story about a king who realized that the people in his kingdom had become lazy and were not really trying very hard to live their fullest life, to live their soul's journey. And so he decided upon a test. He was going to get a huge boulder. There was only one path that led in or out of this village, of this whole kingdom. So he had this boulder placed right there in the middle of the path. You couldn't go around it in either direction. And he wanted to see if people would work together, if they would be determined enough to move this boulder. And one by one, he saw people come, and some of them would just turn right around and not even try. Some would just give it a half-hearted try. But he was growing very disheartened by the little effort that people were making, until finally a peasant that he had never seen before came along and saw this, and he gave it a good try with his shoulder, but nothing quite happened. So he went off into the forest as the king was watching him the whole time, found a good sturdy stick, and he came back, and he was able to get it up under the boulder and get behind it enough with enough leverage that he was able to push the boulder out of the way. And lo and behold, as soon as he did, he found a bag of gold sitting beneath the boulder with a note from the king. And it's important for us to know that that bag of gold is there for each one of us. And we just have to realize that the soul's journey and the path that we're walking isn't always easy. Sometimes it takes great determination, especially in the time that we're in now with all the different dissension and everything with COVID and lockdowns, right. Everything. It's so important for us to realize that there is a bag of gold beneath it all.
Yeah, and I'm reading a wonderful book, Sue Monk Kidd's book. She was the author of The Secret Life of Bees, and she wrote a book called When the Heart Waits. And that was one of the questions, but I think you've already answered it. That she's talking about the idea of waiting, and that we think of waiting as procrastination or passivity, but it's really about building passion. And I believe that this waiting is when we come across the obstacles while we're waiting. And so if we can see the obstacles and the waiting as a way of building passion, to we finally, when it is the correct divine timing for us to take the next step. But that waiting is so is not an easy thing to do, because we think we've been told we're lazy or we're being passive, but we're being patient. And so I found it so interesting that there were all these P words: patient, passion, passivity, procrastination, right? Like, this year for me has been all about these P words. I just find it so get a little string of them, and so I thought that was just so interesting. So we're going to be going to a break in about a minute, but what I'd love for you to talk with our audience about is, what is the secret to setting intentions and then enabling them to come to fruition. Because we can set intentions, and we can just completely undermine ourselves. Or we can set intention to walk up to that boulder, and or our idea is we want to get to the other side and get where we're going, and then all of a sudden there's a boulder in the road. And what are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
Now, how are we going to keep going? What do we need to do? What do we need to listen for? And I just love it because this book came to me because I was reading another one of her books that I didn't love as much as a book I read before. And I asked my guides, can you send me another book? And when I was interviewing someone for the radio show this week, they said, hey, I think you should read Sue Monk Kidd's book, When the Heart Waits. And I'm like, of course you just said that, right? So these are the kind of messages that we get to help us to be able to fulfill our destiny. So we're going to take a break now. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Robin Clare with my special guest, James Twyman.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.sharonmartinmd.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show, and you're here with me, Robin Clare, host of Hungry for Answers. If you'd like more information on my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y. And I'm here with my special guest, friend, and mentor, James Twyman. And to reach James, I'm thinking that you would go to worldpeacepulse.com. Is that correct, James?
Yes, worldpeacepulse.com or jamesftwyman.com. It'll take you to the same place.
Nice. Great. So we were talking about a couple of interesting things before the break. The first was we were talking about, in this book that I'm reading, about Sue Monk Kidd's book, When the Heart Waits, about how waiting, when we're waiting for something, instead of feeling that we're being passive or procrastinating, that we're really actually building passion. And you said on the break that you wanted to respond to that because you found that very interesting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, passion and the ability to wait so that we can be filled. There is a filling process that takes place, but only if we can hold still long enough for that to happen. But most of us are taught just to work, act, do all these things, and we never are able to be filled up with that passion and that energy. And that really is the key, passion, longing. These words, they sound like, oh, why am I longing for this? It sounds almost like a negative thing, but passion builds with longing. And if I'm longing for an experience of my own divinity, my own wholeness, and there's so many practices and many, many spiritual paths that point to this. Bhakti yoga, for example, which is the yoga of devotion. Now, I'm not one. People ask me, do I believe in God? And the answer is no. I don't believe in a God. What I believe in is only God. And that's a big difference. That's all there is. Divinity, the divine, holiness, grace, all there is. And so it's not like a personalized deity that is somewhere outside of me. It's the air that I breathe. It's everything that I perceive. And to long for the experience of oneness with that, it comes from the holding still and the being filled with passion. And so I just love what you shared before because I think it speaks directly to the experience. And that really is what we're here for, Robin, as you know. We're not here to get more information. We're not here to learn more stuff. Or to gather more goods. It's about goodness. It's about being able to be filled with this life and this liveliness that allows us to have an experience that is wholly unlike anything we've ever known before, or what St. Paul would call the peace that surpasses understanding, to experience something that is not of this, but is of this transcendent reality. That's all around us.
Yeah, and so in a similar way, James and I both decided to follow the spiritual path, not just as a student, but to follow it as a teacher and an author, and to share the information. And so it always has been a matter of degrees of understanding and degrees of stepping back and certainly degrees of healing. And a lot of times you talked about obstacles. I think the obstacles truly come in the way when we're not ready quite yet to take the next step on the journey. And then I'm sure you've seen it in your life. As soon as the obstacle is removed, because you've come to some level of understanding in your life, you've healed some significant trauma, or you've met the right people that can actually make it happen, all of a sudden, it's just right there. Whatever you intended to happen is right there. I love this idea of the feminine energy. So we're comprised of masculine and feminine energy. The feminine is the creatrix. She's the one that creates the ideas and, sets everything in motion, like, let's do this. And then the masculine is the provider, just like in many cultures. And so when the feminine is holding her standards with absolute integrity and sufficiently waiting with patience, the masculine's like, oh, my queen, what can I bring you? And then and then whatever you most desire comes to you. So for those that are interested in fulfilling their mission on this earth, you have to learn to wait. You have to learn patience. You have to learn to understand obstacles. So can you talk a little bit more about this, what you've been learning about obstacles on the path?
Sure. First of all, the feminine and the masculine balance, as you said, is so important. It is the feminine that not only initiates but also patiently waits. It's the feminine that is filled. That's why it is often symbolized as a bowl or something of a container, whereas the masculine is that directive energy. But there is a patience and a waiting. And obviously this has very little to do with male and female, because we have both of them within us. There is that aspect of me that needs to wait for grace to fill me so that I can realize I can't do this on my own. On my own, I can do nothing. It's like in the story that I told before with the peasant who came to the boulder. He tried with all his might to move that boulder, but it wasn't going to move. It was bigger than him. What did he do? He went and he found something to create leverage. And with a long enough stick, you can move anything, because you can get that leverage and get something happening that you could never do on your own. I think that's an important part of this. But we tend to instinctively avoid obstacles, thinking of them as bad or negative. But the truth is, anyone who has ever done great things in the world, anyone who has ever had a transformational effect on our countries, our world in general, have been people who have overcome great obstacles. And they've learned that through overcoming those obstacles that they've grown stronger, their intent grows more powerful. It's like going to a gym. I remember when I first signed up for a gym, I would go in there and I would half-heartedly lift very light weights and, you know, look around and think I was doing something. And then my daughter, who is a trainer, she decided to train me. And she got me in with the free weights, and she started putting things on there that I didn't think I could handle. And I would say, honey, I can't do it. I can't. She said, just do it. Shut up, Daddy, and just do it. And I would. And it was hard. And afterwards, my muscles would ache. And I'd wake up in the morning hurting. But the hurting, the reason you hurt after you work out is because you've torn the muscles, and now they're going to grow back stronger. This is why we work out. No one goes to a gym just to, you know, lift 3 pounds. You go to a gym to grow stronger, and that's a similar obstacle. It's not just because it's easy that we do this. We have built ourselves into a system of thought that seems impossible to escape. We have chosen to believe a set of ideas and concepts about ourselves and about the world that seems almost impossible to break through. But we have to gather the momentum and the strength so that we can see that the identity is not who I am. The truth of who I am, with capital letters, I am, is so far beyond all of this, but I need to be patient. I need to be filled. I need to have all of these other things build within me, as we were saying before, so that I can have the momentum to break through into the light, into the experience that we were talking about before.
Yeah, so when you first started speaking, when you first came on, you talked about the dream state. And I think people would be surprised to know, this is how I interpreted it, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, the dream state is the day-to-day life that we're living. And that what we're here to do is to be able to know that this is just where the obstacles live. But truly who we are, the I Am presence, is our own connection to our own inner divinity connected to all of divinity. And so this state, I call it a play almost, the play of my life. And there are characters in my play and situations in my play, and then the play can close and I can move on or I can open a new play. But that's how I always look at it, that this, I equate this dream state to a play.
I actually like that, the idea of it being a drama, a play, a stage. Mm-hmm. All the world's a stage, and we are merely players. And the thing is, we, most of us, have become the greatest method actors in the universe. In other words, we have bought so totally into the role and the costume that we forget that I am not that. I am not the role that I am playing. I have gotten so into this this drama that I think that this stage is the real world. And so I'm playing my role. I'm going through all of the everything the character goes through. And then there comes a point where the play ends. Now, if I want, I can take off the costume, I can take off the makeup and be who I really am. Or I could be so lost in the character, I stay on the stage, even though the audience has left, I'm continuing to play out this drama, and that is what we do. All the while, there is a door in the back that leads out of the theater. That door is wide open, but I have to break first the idea that this is the real world. Now, we can go into this very deep if we wanted to, but I've been a Course in Miracles student for nearly 30 years now. And a Course in Miracles is uncompromising in saying that this world that you think you're living in and that you're interacting in is not the real world. There is a world beyond this. And it's just like the stage analogy, that if I want to lock myself into a limited construct and say, this stage, this character, this costume is who I am and where I am, I can do that and believe it. But this is not the real world. Beyond this world, there is another world that where everything I could ever possibly want or be or have or do is there. But I have to first break the idea, the addiction to a world that I've made up in my imagination to hide from that I am presence that we talked about before. So I think mystics have always meant when they talk about waking up and illumination, enlightenment, it's the realization that I am not the character. You know, we said before that God is not a being. We want to personify God because we want to be people. We want to personify ourselves. So obviously we want to put God outside of us as well. Instead of realizing this identity is a vehicle that I can use to navigate through time and space, but it's not who I am. The truth of who I am is so much bigger, so much brighter, so much more brilliant. And I have to be willing to loosen my grip, maybe, on that identification so I can take off that costume, look at that door in the back of the stage where the light is coming streaming through, and walk through that door once and for all.
Yeah, and I think for, you know, just for the topic that the show was on about listening to your own soul and fulfilling your destiny, I believe that the more that you can embrace these concepts that James and I are talking about, this idea of the connection to your own inner divinity and your connection to all divinity, it allows you to connect to what is called universal energies. And if we think of the universe as something that is all abundant, right, that their resources are abundant within the universe, the more that you can connect to that energy, step away from your play and go to what is your divine light, the more that you can achieve and the more that you will receive the resources that you need. Of course, that means getting out of your own way, right? Removing the obstacles and just knowing and being patient and waiting, but being able to fulfill your destiny is very, very real. So we are going to take a break. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Robin Clare with my special guest, James Twyman. We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune into the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Hello and welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Robin Clare, host of Hungry for Answers on Transformation Talk Radio. And if you'd like to learn more about my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's clarity.com. And I'm here with my special guest and mentor, James Twyman. And you can reach James at jamesftwyman.com. And so I was thinking this morning, James, about another interesting arrangement that happened for us. James was at a conference and I was teaching a retreat, and we were both in the same city, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I really wanted to see him, but I couldn't get out to where he was. And so I was walking around Santa Fe and I said, hey, where is the river? I know there's a river here. I forget which river it is. And this taxi driver said, the river is just down the street. And as I was walking away, he said, and young lady, and I said, yes. He said, and you need to look at the river from the left side of the street. And I'm like, okay, something good's going to happen. Like, that's what happens when you're divinely guided, right? You get, like, anybody can be a spirit guide or an angel giving you a message. So I walk down the street, and I look over the left side, and there's a man sitting in a lotus position with his eyes closed, smoking a cigar. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's James. So I come running down the embankment, James, and he's like, he looks up and goes, is that Robin Clare? And I'm like, yeah, it is. And so it was interesting because you said that you were meditating on, that you were looking for someone to help you make The Barn Dance, which is one of my most favorite books of yours, into a movie. And he said, oh, maybe you're supposed to help me. And I'm like, well, maybe I am. But I'm telling this story because we're talking about the secret to setting intentions and then enabling them to come to fruition. So for The Barn Dance, it did come to fruition at that time, but who's to say, right? You've shared with me that you're in conversations again. So let's talk about that, the secret to setting intentions and then enabling them to come to fruition in what I like to call divine timing.
Yeah.
Right? Everything is not just supposed to happen. In this book, in Sue Monk Kidd's book, When the Heart Rates, she calls us all quick-aholics. Isn't that great? Quick-aholics. Like, quick, hurry up now, right? When should I do this? Now, right? But that's not always the case. So I'm going to turn the podium over to you, the microphone, so that you can tell us about your setting intentions and enabling them to come to fruition.
Yeah, it's a real art form because on one hand, it's about setting a very strong, passionate, spirit-filled intention, putting it into motion however you can, and then letting it go. And then not holding on to the expectation that it happened in one particular way. And you mentioned The Barn Dance. It's a good example. It's my favorite book that I've written. It's the one that I had to go deepest to get, and it would make an amazing movie. And there have been a couple of big Hollywood producers that have approached me and considered the possibility, but it just never happened. And you know what? If it's supposed to happen, it will. I would love to see it happen, but I'm not going to demand that it happened, because me demanding or me becoming uncomfortable on some level because it's not happening the way that I think it should happen, this is being a quick addict. I want it to happen now. I want it to happen the way I want it, as opposed to saying, I'm passionate about this. I'm going to hold this within that passionate energy, but I'm also just going to let it go. And if it's meant to happen, it will. I've had many times in my life where projects doing the same thing have taken off and have gone to huge levels, movies, books, whatever it may be. And I've had other things where nothing happened. But that doesn't mean that those other things were failures.
No.
They were maybe setting the stage for something else. Maybe it's going to happen at some other time, but it's all about expectation, releasing my expectation, playing the game, filling with energy and passion whatever it is you want to manifest. In fact, let me give you another example. So a book I wrote called The Moses Code was a big, it's led to so many things. We just re-released a newly updated, revised version of it. And it was really fun for me to go back and reread it. We did an audio book through Hay House for The Moses Code. And I remembered what initiated the energy. It was when I was watching a movie that was pretty popular at that time. And that movie, on one hand, I recognize it was a very well-done movie, but I also recognize that it was not exactly the whole story and that people were going to get tripped up on it if they didn't get the whole story. And the book, or the movie rather, was The Secret, very popular movie. And I said, I'm feeling inspired to bring this from the ego's law of attraction based upon what I want and bring it back into the soul's
law of attraction, which is based on what I am, the I am presence within me. So I began writing the book, and we also began making a movie. And I worked on that movie, that documentary, for a year. And by the time I thought I had it done, it was going to be released in about 500 or 600 theaters and churches. We already had about 300 of them ready. It was about a month and a half away from release. And I took it to L.A., and I showed it to three people, one of whom was Debbie Ford, a dear friend of mine who was in the movie, right. And then two other men who were filmmakers. And they watched it. Now, remember, I've been working on this for a year, and I just want to be done with it, honestly. And they watch it, and I'm hoping that they're going to just rave and tell me how great it is. But all three of them looked at me and said, "That's okay." Not what I was hoping. And I said, "Well, okay." And one of them, one of these men, filmmaker, said, "I haven't had 2 weeks off for a few years, but I have nothing going for the next 2 weeks. And if you want, I'll work with you day and night. And I think in 2 weeks, we could pull this together and it would be an extraordinary movie." It was a hard decision because, as I said, I just kind of wanted to be done and maybe it was good enough. But I knew that that wasn't where I wanted to leave this. So I said yes. And yeah, we worked day and night for 2 weeks. We worked so hard. We ended up reshooting 70% of that film in 2 weeks. We re-edited 100%, rescored 100%. It was, for the most part, a different movie. And he was right. I'm still so thrilled with that film, which anyone can now see on, if you just go to YouTube and type in the Moses Code, you can watch it for free. And the thing at the end, which brings it all together, is the fact that the man who did that with me, his name is Drew Harriet, and he was the director of The Secret. So this whole thing starts with me knowing that The Secret didn't tell the whole story, wanting to take it to the next level. And the man who helped me do that was the director. The universe has such a great sense of humor.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of a technical issue on my end. Can we take a break now, and we'll come right back in 1 year?
Sure.
Thank you. Hello? Just a moment, please. Jimmy, continue to tell your story, please.
Okay. Well, yeah, so the universe has a sense of humor. And if we just, with our passion, with our energy, with all of that longing and desire that we have within us, if we can just harness that, but in a way that is open and non-demanding, the universe will surprise us. And that's just a good example of a time in which I thought I was doing one thing and something else came about that was just the perfect ending. So I'm so grateful to Drew. I'm so grateful for everyone that helped make that movie the beautiful experience that it was.
Yeah, and I want to share with the audience. So James was my writing coach on Messiah Within, and he had me write the book over three times, begin again. And at the fourth time, he said to me, you don't hate me, do you? And I said, actually, I hated you the first three times, but the fourth time I think is the one that's right. I think that if I don't do what you're suggesting to me to do in this fourth rewrite, if the book will have less meaning. And so that was just something, you know, something that we did. And I want to share with the audience, when you have a passion and when you're trying to follow your purpose, you've got to be willing to fix things, as James and I have just shared. You have to be willing to take a step back and say, is this for my greatest, highest, and best good, for myself, for my clients, for humanity? What am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Do I need to shift? And honestly, when you are open to that, the shifts arrive very, very quickly. Grace is around us 24/7 It's just a matter of opening our hearts to receive it. And it could be the grace of knowing how to fix something to make it more beneficial for your audience. Would you agree?
Yeah, in fact, you're hitting on a key, very important subject, which is humility. Humility is one of those forgotten experiences so often in this field in particular, because we want to think that we have the answer. We want to believe that we know what to do, and no one's going to tell me. But humility is what opens the door to even greater creativity and greater accomplishment. We have to realize that I need to ask for help. I don't know. But if I can just hold still and rest in that place where I can be shown and guided and helped, I'm going to achieve far greater things than I could ever achieve on my own. Miracles are going to happen around me that would never have happened if I hadn't stepped back into that place. So I'm really glad that you brought that up because so often we're just like, I can do this. Well, the truth is, on our own, we can do nothing. But if we're humble enough to listen and to follow what we hear, everything will be done through us.
Yeah, and in my last book, Feast and Famine, it was the story working with the Holy Spirit, Sophia, to talk about the idea that what we're really addicted to on this planet is suffering and how to get out of that by welcoming grace into our lives. And she said, you have to tell your story of your addiction. And so I wrote the book the first time, but I didn't have an ending because I was still in addiction. So then I had to go back. Once I came into recovery, I had to go back and rewrite the book from a place of recovery. And boy, what a difference between a place from an addiction and a place of recovery. But then that also led to me becoming a recovery coach, which then led to me having the opportunity to have a show about recovery and healing on Transformation Talk Radio. So there's always this process, and I don't think I would have been ready to do the radio show if I hadn't gone through the process of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then writing about it and speaking about it and grounding my recovery. And so that's a whole other thing. You know, if you're struggling with addiction on the spiritual path, it's a very real thing. and so you need to heal your life, and you need to, you know, own your own transformation. And that too will lead to you being able to fulfill your destiny. Yep. All of these things need to work together. Like we're constantly in transformation. I call myself a rose. Like I'm constantly peeling back petals to see what's there and how is that helping me on the journey or not helping me on the journey. And I'm wondering, James, too, on your journey this to where you are today as a Franciscan brother. I am sure you spent, how long did you spend? 6 months in...
Oh, the anchor hold. Yeah. Yeah, I was following a very ancient tradition, sort of my adapted version, called the anchorite or an anchoress if it was a woman. In medieval times, someone who followed this path would enter into a small enclosure, usually attached to a church, and then they would not leave that enclosure again for the rest of their life. They would live a life of solitude and service. And I just felt like I needed to take that time. I was going to do a whole year. In fact, if I had done a whole year, it would be ending in about a week. But I decided after 6 months that I had gained what I needed. And it was a powerful experience. And it did bring about a realigning with my Franciscan vocation, which I started when I was 18, when I left home and entered the order originally. But the spirit of simplicity and humility that I received from St. Francis has always been a big part of my life. And so now I'm a member of an Episcopal Franciscan order, also here at our beautiful Mamaste Village community here in Ajijic, Mexico, there's so many wonderful things going on. Our community is growing. We went from 11 tiny apartments to 2.5 years later having 41 houses or apartments here.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. I wish I could take my computer out and show everyone because it's such a beautiful place. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, where the weather is the second best in the whole world. It's so inexpensive to live here. The people, the Mexican people, are amazing. And we have a vibrant community. And these things just happen. I mean, how I found this property and began building this, one miracle after another, none of which I tried to make happen. These things just happen on their own. If we're able to do everything we're talking about here today, hold still, be patient, listen, allow. Don't try and do this on your own. And then the Holy Spirit or Sophia begins to talk to us, and we hear that still, quiet voice that is guiding us very gently in the direction that we need to go. Instead of saying, I know where I need to go, be directed. And it's such a beautiful way to live.
And it's, I would add to your list at the front end, set your intention.
Yeah.
For what you want. But don't be tied to the outcomes. Let the outcomes unfold, right?
Exactly.
They're always in a state of unfolding. And even in my life here, Jimmy knows my husband, Ori, we were trying to make a decision, and it felt like there was like this veil of unknowing in front of me. I couldn't make the decision, and I just said, I need to step back. I guess it's not time to make the decision. No matter what I did, I couldn't figure out the answer. And then I actually energetically felt this veil in front of me. And I'm like, I'm going to honor the veil. I'm going to honor the veil. I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm going to see what happens. We're going to slow down, do it slower, and see what the universe wants us to do and what's in our highest and best good. Because sometimes we have a plan, but it's really not a plan. Like, it's the plan from the quickaholic, right? It's not the plan of the divinely inspired person. And so that's what we needed to do. We're both divinely inspired, and we both decided to step back and let our lives unfold. So you've been listening to Dr. Pat. This is Robin Clare from Hungry for Answers on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'm here with my mentor, James Twyman. It's been such a pleasure to have an hour with you.
Yeah, we don't get this opportunity unless I'm coming through Hartford and get to stay at your house with you and Ari. Then we have time.
Yeah. So this has been really wonderful. Guys, you can catch Hungry for Answers on the first and third Thursdays at noon Eastern time. I look forward to having some of you come and listen to me there. And James, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. And I hope to get to Mexico soon to visit you there.
And by the way, if people want more information, they can go to namaste-village.com.
Yes, it's a beautiful website, too. You'll learn a lot. Because this idea of living in intentional community, I think, is the ideal outcome for all of us on the spiritual journey, especially for those who have been on it for a while. We need each other. So we're gonna leave now. But again, Jimmy, thank you so much for spending this hour with us. I've learned a lot, and I hope our audience has too. And everybody take care, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. I-5 southbound just south of the I-90 around milepost 164. Recent collision partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing medical aid fire assistance. Its response team has arrived on the scene and they are taking care of that situation. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Infidelity. The symptom. Nancy Landrum. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Medical groups are joining the push for mandatory vaccinations for healthcare workers. The National Medical Association and the American Academy of Nursing are among the dozens of groups calling for COVID-19 shots for all frontline workers. A House panel is set to begin its probe into the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Four police officers will testify tomorrow about violent clashes with angry Trump supporters who stormed the Capitol. Two Republicans will join seven Democrats on the panel despite objections by House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy. President Biden and Vice President Harris are marking the 31st anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Many of us can still recall an America where a person with disability was denied service in restaurants and grocery stores.
During a White House ceremony, Biden noted he co-sponsored the original legislation when he was in the Senate. He said disabled Americans are fearless champions and called the act a triumph of American values. The president also noted the work of improving the lives of disabled Americans is far from over. Harris called the Disabilities Act a historic and bipartisan law that has made America better. Texas Democrats who are protesting in Washington, D.C. say there is a way to get them to return to Austin. State Representative Gene Wu says it's all in Republican Governor Greg Abbott's hands.
The only person we can negotiate with is Governor Abbott. Governor Abbott must take this bill off the call in order for us to come back.
A group of Texas senators is already back in Austin after they joined the protest. When a compromise is reached, they want to promise it will not be changed at the last minute. Chicago is logging another deadly weekend. Police say 73 people were shot and 11 victims died in the Windy City between Friday night and early this morning. Last weekend, 60 people were shot and 10 were killed in Chicago. A German drug company is working on a vaccine to prevent malaria using the same breakthrough that made a COVID-19 shot possible. Now, BioNTech plans to begin clinical trials testing the malaria shot by the end of next year. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. That's 800-426-0557.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see a pretty much sunny, calm week ahead. High temperatures, high 70s, low 80s all week long. Mostly clear skies and low temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s in the evening. Have a great week, everybody.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Join Jennifer.
Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more info.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance, your joy, and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. What an important show with my friend and colleague. I'm telling you, breakthrough work he is doing. Nancy Landry, let me just tell you what I mean by breakthrough work. She's done a number of shows with us, and every show I learn something, and I try to implement it, and I don't always do it well. And I want to, you know, I said to both my team that, you know, we should, the three of us, myself, Linda, and Jessica, should work with Nancy because I continue to find myself in situations where I will say something or do something and it will offend another person. And so I'm really becoming more mindful of things like that. And this morning was a perfect example. You know, you come into work and you expect your day and then you've got 200 emails, but that doesn't mean that you're not in management of yourself. And today I'm talking about being in management of yourself for several reasons, because we're talking about something that is so rampantly pandemic that they don't even cover it enough in any of the divorce situations, and that's infidelity, a symptom. Infidelity, a symptom. Nancy Landrum is taking this on. Nancy, I'm telling you, we don't talk about this enough. What we do is we go right to the divorce statistics, right?
Well, I've been coaching couples or teaching classes for several years, and a few years ago, something very serendipitous occurred. I was invited to participate in a Saturday workshop for therapists to teach them how to work with couples who have had infidelity in their relationship and they want to recover or get through it somehow. So I signed up, went to the course, and the following Tuesday, a woman calls me whose husband, over their 20-year marriage, had had three different affairs, and she was afraid he was in another one and was just at the end of her rope. And I just thought, wow, this is so amazing. I went to that Saturday workshop because I thought someday I'm going to run into this with the couples I coach. And here she came. So the workshop was presented by Dave Carter, who wrote a book called Torn Asunder, Recovering from an Extramarital Affair. So I used the exercises that he recommended in the book to kind of peel back the layers and examine what happened and some very important steps for recovery, but I combined that with my own core coaching practice, which is teaching good communication skills, anger management skills, problem solutions. And this couple worked diligently hard. I have to give them a lot of credit because they were both committed to recovering and moving forward with their marriage without this ever happening again. So just a couple of years ago, I received this email from her. She said, and I quote, "Things are going wonderfully. We are seriously the happiest we've ever been in many, many years. You made us deal with the hard stuff and didn't let either of us off the hook. It was the best thing you could have done for us. We're both so thankful to you for the process we went through with you. While disagreements are now seldom, we work through them respectfully and really try to hear one another. By the way, our sex life is the best it's ever been. We're having the time of our lives." Mm. That was such a fun email to receive. There, you know, I shouldn't really call myself an expert because I only have anecdotal experience with, I don't know, 8 or 10 couples that I've been working with that have experienced some form of affair or infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
But they all have one cause in common, and it's made me ask myself the question, you know, is there a single cause at the core of any action that is some form of infidelity? And I call infidelity emotional infidelity, where you start a relationship with someone on Facebook or online.
Yeah.
I think pornography is a kind of infidelity. There's the one-night stand or the intermittent affairs. But could they all have one common cause? I found with the couples I've worked with that the betrayed one usually assumes that somehow they are not enough. They feel offended that the infidelity is a rejection of them personally, and they react with rage or extreme wounding or both. There is often blame going back and forth, a lot of blame and shame. These emotions are certainly understandable, but healing only takes place when both can go beyond the surface reactions and begin to ask themselves what was missing in the relationship that made their relationship susceptible to infidelity, either some kind of emotional infidelity or physical. So that has, when we can get down below the surface reaction and begin to deal with where are the cracks that were in the relationship to begin with? There's one example recently, and I'll call him John. He frequently, and that's kind of a poor choice of words, I guess.
It works for me.
Okay. Frequently indulged in pornography in spite of having a good sexual relationship with his wife. So why?
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Why is the question, isn't it?
That's the question.
Right.
What it got down to is they did not have the tools to create and sustain an intimate emotional connection. They took care of their businesses. They did a great job of parenting their son, but they didn't know how to create and sustain deep emotional intimacy. And that's what we went to work on, was learning the skills so that they had the freedom to talk about anything, any of their needs, to talk about what was going on that wasn't satisfactory to either of them. And she wrote this testimony recently. She said, "Before Nancy, we had tried everything and we thought should help, but the distance between us continued to grow. Through this program and talking with Nancy each week, we were able to address the root of the issue and ended up becoming more emotionally and physically close than ever had before, even better than the honeymoon phase."
Mm.
You know, most couples come to marriage in that glow of we're in love, we're going to make it work with, you know, that sexual tension that is so enticing. But once that initial phase wears off, then how do you create the deep connection that will sustain you through the life of the relationship?
And can I get back to something you said before, because we're covering this today in the show? One of the things you mentioned earlier, and I want to make sure we cover it today, is, you know, when we take a look at ourselves and we take a look at recovering from things, you know, we have to really look at the range of behaviors. And part of that, you know, you mentioned earlier, and I know you're going to mention throughout the show, so I want to keep going in that direction.
Good.
We have a new level of infidelity. Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I am not the expert here, you are. And let me talk about the new level of infidelity. Text messaging with somebody and, oh, she's just my friend. Oh, he's just my friend. Now, I will tell you two things. There's a long list of this. And it's not, I can't figure out any language at all. Maybe you could help because you're in charge of this. But I cannot find any language that explains when you pick up your partner's phone, for some reason it's blinking and beeping and you know what it does, the phone when you get the messages. And you go over there and you're looking at this and it's like, who's Jane? There's none, I can't think of any amount of words a man or a, you know, same-sex couple would say to eradicate that text message. Can you?
Well, interestingly enough, I think most of the couples I've worked with, that's how the infidelity is discovered.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a bomb going off in the relationship. It blows everything you thought was secure apart for the betrayed one. And the one who is doing the friend messaging is starting an emotional connection outside of the marriage that does not belong in the marriage. It violates the marriage, violates that relationship.
Wow. I love this body of work you're doing. I can't say enough about this. I don't even know where to begin to honor your work in this area, Nancy, because I can sit here and I can think about myself, my own life. I can think about, you know, these potholes, stepping into them, not really understanding the impact. Well, I can think about other people, too. I mean, I have a number of people that I already know now. And, you know, and I want to say this. I mentioned, you know, the LGBTQ community, and I want to mention this again. There is a body of people now in the LGBTQAI community that entered into the new realm of marriage. And there are so many things to learn in this community, so many things to learn. It's not quite the same. It's same, but it's not quite. But I wanted to say this. It doesn't matter what community you're in. Infidelity is infidelity, right, Nancy? Tell us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Disloyalty is disloyalty, period.
Mm-hmm.
Betrayal is betrayal. There's no nice term for what it does to the sanctity of that relationship or the security. I want to just take a moment to define what I'm calling emotional intimacy.
I want you to define it because I don't think we even know that this is, I don't think we know what we don't know about it. So go ahead. And then I want to make sure we talk about the programs you're creating to help. But how do you define it? What is emotional infidelity?
I only have my own personal experience with my late husband, Jim, where we were able to create this and build on it and enjoy it until he passed away. But emotional intimacy from my point of view, is when you have confidence that the one you love will hear anything you need to talk about with empathy. Your beloved wants to know you and wants to be known by you. You are each other's best friend. You enjoy sexual passion. You laugh together. Although you love your friends and family, you make enjoying time alone together a high priority. There are no topics that are off limits. There is no one in the world that I felt safer with than Jim, and he with me. So that's, we had done the work, we had learned the skills, and we had done the work that healed up the cracks that caused so much pain in the beginning years of our relationship, and found solutions to the issues that were brought up by our relationship that met both of our needs and were able to move forward. We kept our agreements with each other. We treated each other with respect 24/7. Whether we were upset with each other or not, we treated each other with respect and courtesy. We were willing to talk about anything and work it out. So how did we do this? That's the how. Is we learn to listen to each other for the purpose of understanding each other's point of view. We were willing to hear the other's point of view. Delivering any message to your partner with respect and courtesy. On the show, other interviews I've had with you, Dr. Pat, I emphasize that respect is the basis of love, that you can't grow love without treating each other with respect. So we needed to learn how to treat each other with respect. I needed to learn how to tell Jim what I needed to say without using disrespectful methods that were attacking. And I've said before, my favorite was sarcastic put-downs. Well, I couldn't indulge in sarcastic put-downs and expect Jim to hear me.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my favorite sayings is that if you want your partner to listen to you, you have to make it safe for him or her to do so. You have to make a safe environment for speaking and listening. We learned how to have a skill discussion, which is a discussion with rules that keep you both safe so that you can talk about anything without fighting. And knowing how to handle anger without using anger as an excuse to attack your partner. So much of anger comes out as attacking and just creates more damage rather than helping you move forward.
Can we talk about anger for a minute? I would like to just talk for a minute, if we could, about what we mean by anger. Because when we say anger, people think about fits of rage. Of course, they're right there. But that there are so many different shades of anger. And so I want to talk about the fact that it doesn't matter what shade of anger it is. There's an emotional response that happens that literally causes more damage. And some people think, no, I'm not angry. I just made a comment and walked away. Or I'm not angry. I just threw down the book. So we need to just talk for a minute about the fact that, you know, we're not talking about emotional rage where you put your hand through the wall. That is, like, not even acceptable. But there are other degrees of anger that damage a relationship that we need to talk about.
Resentment that isn't addressed in a respectful way will leak out in disrespectful ways or create emotional distance between the two of you. The next couple I was going to use as an example, that was one thing that was going on with them. She had a low level of resentment that she didn't talk about, and it created emotional distance between the two of them. And he would come home from a very high-stress job and want to talk about what happened at work, and she couldn't hear him. Because she was very involved with their three children, being a wonderful mom and managing their household. But he felt like he could not share the things that were disturbing to him. He worked in a busy ER and saw gruesome things and sometimes, you know, was very emotionally affected by it, needed a good friend to talk to, and she wasn't there, he thought. So he began an affair with a coworker who understood him, you know, quote unquote. And she found out about it and reacted just blew sky high with rage and filed for legal separation and closed their bank accounts and started divorce proceedings and was egged on by her family who, you know, were very offended for her. And so he moved out, moved back home with his mom. And fortunately, when she calmed down a bit, she asked herself, is this really the only option? Is the only option to divorce? Is there any way that we can heal this marriage and move forward? I have to give her a lot of credit for even being able to ask herself that question.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, can I just talk for a minute?
Yes. So,
you know, part of the coaching that you do, and let's just have a moment of this, because I know the changes that I am attempting to make in all my affairs, you know, just from this, you know, the time I spend with you. But what you do is you help people find that place. See, and I want to talk about this. We think we can do things alone, and then we just don't move forward, especially about relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is such a critical point in time that people need to know they can go to a trusted person, even to find that language that she found.
Yeah.
What a bold move, wasn't it?
It was an amazing move. That's when she gave me a call, and she said, this is where we are. I don't know if it can be salvaged, but I want to find out if there's any way to salvage our marriage and heal it.
Hmm.
So they began to work with me, and I started them by teaching them anger management skills because they were both so angry. She was hurt and angry. He was offended because she, you know, shut off his access to their funds and filed for divorce so quickly that he was offended and angry.
Wow.
So they learned how to vent their anger more safely. I told her, writing a letter every day telling him how nasty he is and, you know, all the ways he's hurt you and on, say anything you want in the letter and then burn it. But if you want the marriage to be saved, you've got to stop attacking him and blaming him as though it's all his fault. And one of the places that is a magic place in recovery from any variation of an affair is when you're willing to go below the surface reactions and ask yourself, what was going on in our relationship that made it susceptible to this kind of problem?
Yeah.
And when they got there, gosh, I coached them through several very grueling discussions where they kind of peeled back the layers, but they were finally able to look at their individual flaws and recognize that those flaws are what set them up to have anything major go wrong with the relationship. In this case, it was an affair. So they began to make changes, and it's been hard work. I've been working with them now for about 2 months, and just a couple weeks ago, he moved back home.
Oh, wow.
And I gave them the assignment of creating a marriage vision to write down the characteristics of the marriage that they want to be true of their marriage from now on until one of them passes.
Mm-hmm.
And they shared their marriage visions with each other in front of me the other day. And I was so deeply touched, and she was too. She began crying when this man said he expressed his personal goal that every decision he made from now on about their marriage or their family be made from a place of personal integrity. He wanted to be a man of honor. And she began to cry because that meant so much to hear. But this is the transformation that has taken place and is still taking place. They've got more work to do, but they're doing it.
Wow. Nancy, I want to talk with you when we come back from break about that last thing you said. They've got more work to do, but they're willing to do it. I mean, what you just described is almost unimaginable. You know, it really talks to the power of what people are capable of doing if they have some tools. Nancy Landrum, folks, I want to make sure you know that if you want to work with Nancy, if you want to find out more about exactly about what she's talking about and how she works with folks, and by the way, you know, you don't have to be married to get help. You can be in a relationship where you need to get this help now. And please go to nancylandrum.com, Nancy, L-A-N-D-R-U-M.com. If you've got a question for today's show, for Nancy, 1-800-930-2819. The other thing I want to say is, you know, if you are harboring a resentment for a past relationship, and you're not in relationship now, but you're harboring that, this is also a time to get some help to let it go. When we come back, we're going to talk about, okay, now we've gotten there. How do we create, how do we sustain this emotional intimacy? And Nancy has said this before, how we behave, how we react, it all comes together in how we love. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. How do you know if you're living your life and not someone else's? Here's one way to find out. First, list out your top five core values. For example, mine are empathy, excellence, passion, service, and core values. Then put those core values into short first-person core value statements. In my case, one, empathy powers my relationships. Two, excellence is the goal in all things I do. Three, passion fuels my perseverance. Four, my value is measured by my service to others. And five, core values drive all of my life decisions. Now ask yourself, am I using my core value statements to drive my personal and professional decisions? Maybe not. Maybe you've never even considered doing so. And that's where life coaching begins. Go to MyTurnLifeCoaching.com and let's put your personal core values into your driver's seat. Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lau, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit TrishLaub.com. That's TrishLaub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy Alves. In a world filled with so much information, people get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing nothing will be able to get in your way. But you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Nancy Landrum is in the house. If you want to find out about Nancy's program, if you want to find out about what she's doing, go to nancylandrum.com, or if you're on Facebook, Nancy Landrum, author, Nancy Landrum Author Coach. But we're talking about an area of expertise she has, and that is working with people in relationships. Whether you're in an intimate relationship or you're in a work relationship, it's relationships. But today we are talking about something very, very specific, infidelity, a symptom. That story you shared, man, that is like transformative. But now that we've done it, how do we keep the mojo going? How do we keep and create that level of emotional intimacy? I know you and I were talking during the break. Once you go through this, you have information and knowledge. So you know for each other where you are in this process. But some people think creating and sustaining is harder than repairing.
Creating and sustaining in the long run is the most rewarding path that most couples could take. And if you don't create and sustain or learn the skills for creating and sustaining emotional intimacy, then somewhere down the road in another relationship, you're apt to create the same problems. I have an acquaintance years ago that he had an affair. He was a school teacher. He had an affair with another teacher. They both divorced their current spouses, thought they'd finally found the love of their life. They got married. And he confided to my sister 10 years later, he said, we're dealing with the same issues in this marriage that we had in our first marriages. Because they hadn't healed the cracks in themselves, they hadn't learned the skills, they were doomed to repeat the same, which is why second and third subsequent marriages have a much higher divorce rate than first marriages. Because we carry our baggage with us. We can't help it.
I want to ask you this. Let me just say it the way I know it.
Okay.
You go through this work, and a lot of couples just stop. They stop. They're like, we got this, right? But we got this doesn't anticipate all of the post-traumatic stress disorder things that can come up in this. You know, we got this means when the phone rings, uh-oh, it's that thing again, and it's really not. It's just Amazon or somebody telling you your package is coming. This is the area that I find, especially in the people that I work with, this is the area where this is really where the work starts. Can you talk about this phase and what we need to do, not just to sustain it, but to keep the richness in our relationship growing?
Oh, gosh, there's so many answers to that question. I wish I could do bullet points, but I recommend that every couple have two dates every week, one date for fun just to remind each other why we love each other and have some fun. And another date to have a skilled discussion to keep the decks clear of any issues, any little irritations that have begun to pile up, or to talk about your goals, or talk about maybe the dream that one of you has that you need to share with the other. So two dates a week. And never the two shall meet. When you go on a fun date, if an irritation comes up, you set it aside for the skill discussion date. You don't let it interfere with having a good time together. And you practice daily appreciation so that you're focused on what is good in your partner and what is good in the relationship, rather than letting little irritations become the focus of your attention. There's Those are three of the ways to create and sustain. You have to make your marriage a high priority. Too many couples with children make the children their highest priority.
Wow.
And, of course, children need their fair share of attention and commitment, but they also need to learn that mom and dad need time alone together. They need to learn that mom and dad go on dates alone together, not just family outings. Even small children, I've told people with small children, set the kitchen timer for 15 minutes and tell your toddlers that mom and dad need to be alone for 15 minutes to talk about something. And if they interrupt you before the 15 minutes is over, then you reset the timer. So they learn they can't interrupt. There needs to be a lock on the bedroom door. But don't lose sight of the fact that the marriage is the foundation of the family. The relationship is the foundation. And if the relationship has cracks in it, what happens to the children when divorce takes place? The statistics are overwhelmingly dire as far as children who have experienced the divorce of their parents do not grow up with the confidence that they can create and sustain a happy relationship. They don't have any model to base their belief on. Creating a marriage vision that this couple I was just talking about is they put into words descriptive sentences describing the quality of happiness they want to achieve, not just now, but forever. And they're combining their two lists, consolidating them. I suggested they pick a beautiful font, you know, print it out with some beautiful paper and frame it, hang it up where they see it and review it periodically, because that's the goal that keeps them moving in the direction that will provide the sustainability part of the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about here is setting up, and we've talked about this before, is setting up healthy boundaries and being able to really put things in place that enable people to feel free, right? And to understand it. And part of this, too, is having a conversation about conversations. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, when we are entering the realm of conversations to sustain emotional intimacy, you know, sometimes these conversations are uncomfortable. And we have to really get to the place where we get more comfortable with them, even when we have to listen and understand your partner's point of view. Where does that become a critical issue, understanding your partner's point of view? I think it's one of the hardest things to do.
From the beginning all the way through the end, I mean, it never stops being a critical part of sustaining a healthy and loving relationship. So learning that skill, listening for the purpose of understanding the other's point of view, is probably one of the most key skills that I teach couples. You know, most of us, before Jim and I learned this, I wasn't listening to him when he spoke. I was deciding if I agreed with him or not, or I was planning my rebuttal. And I didn't really care what his point of view was because he was wrong and I was right. And as long as you've got that right-wrong thing going in the relationship, you'll have a lot of trouble listening for your partner's point of view. When we learned this skill, I literally did a mind game. I set my issue, my point of view, up on a shelf in the closet and tell my inner child, I can take it back down when it's my turn to speak, but for right now, my job is to listen to Jim. And to listen with deep empathy, meaning that I care about his point of view. His point of view is valid, just as valid as mine. There are no wrong point of views. So, and then when it was my turn to speak and it was his turn to listen, I would take my stuff down and share what I needed to share with him, understanding that now his job was to listen to me.
You know, Nancy, all of these things really lead to the place of wanting and needing and allowing this to be a priority.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and one of the things that I'm really struck by in this is how often we are in a place, right, where we don't really set these goals in place, where we don't really say, here's where we are today. You know, what do we want to achieve? It's almost as if we think this is organic and some parts of it are organic, but we don't really have a game plan. Like, we don't have a game plan to set our sustainable emotional intimacy in place. I want to talk about this. When we come back, let's talk about what happens when we set some guidelines and goals in place. What happens when we decide that we're going to have a date night? What happens when we decide, yes, this is the way we're going to move forward together? See, part of the idea of this novelty wearing off is like things became organic, but we didn't become a priority. When we come back, how do we make our relationship a priority? How do we set some clear goals and have a vision that you can visit and revisit in a safe space? When we come back, that and more from Nancy Langer.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Pat Basile, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES programs, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hey. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I'm really thrilled to have Nancy Landrum joining us here today because we both have been updating ourselves on the latest statistics that are now coming in regarding relationships, you know, regarding divorce rates. You know, there's some new data that's coming in, which we're not covering on this show. We've covered on other shows, and Nancy, I'm sure, will cover in future shows. And that has to do with the degree of addiction, things that are happening in relationships that have changed it. Today, we're talking about something very specific and very specifically on the rise, infidelity. Nancy, how do we find out more about you? Tell people about some of the programs that you have and what you're doing to help people, not with just infidelity. There's a whole range of things that you're seeing right now. How do they find out about that?
Well, first of all, go to my website, nancylandrum.com. There's an online relationship skills course called the Millionaire Marriage Club, which you can take on your own in the privacy of your home. It teaches all the skills that I've been talking about. So if that appeals to you, you can start there. If you need additional help or coaching from me, you can send me an email from the website or send the email to nancy@nancylandrum.com. And my phone number is 951-239-1134. So if you, and the book, How to Stay Married and Love It, is my signature book that Jim and I wrote together, kind of outlining not only the progression of our own marriage from extremely conflicted to finally the marriage that we enjoyed for 17 years before Jim passed away. I want to mention this diagram that I often draw for couples where I am an individual, you are an individual, but between us we have this living entity called a relationship. And it requires attention, just like our individual bodies and mental health need attention. We need food, we need air, we need water. The relationship needs maintenance. And we take it for granted. Too many couples start out by taking the relationship for granted and not making it a priority. So Dr. Pat and I were talking about these dates, you know, 2 dates a week that I mentioned a little while ago. They need to be on your calendars, both on your calendars. They need to be written in ink. And the only way either of those dates can be changed is if you both agree to push it back an hour or have your date night on Saturday rather than Friday night or whatever, but you have to agree. You can't just let those dates slip away and become unimportant or lost in the minutiae of our lives. One middle-aged couple that I've been working with recently, she thought they were happily married. They'd been married for, I don't know, 20 years. But he began an emotional attachment, a romantic emotional attachment to a friend of theirs. And when she found out, the wife found out that he was taking her to lunch and giving her flowers, she was heartbroken, just crushed. And that's when she called me, and they needed to find out how to put it back together.
Wow.
They have some major differences between them that have required some adjustment in their thinking, like just because this is different than the way I would do it doesn't make him wrong, doesn't make her wrong. Eventually, we all three realized that he had to cut off all contact with this romantic attachment that he had begun. But she had to learn to control her temper because he didn't feel safe confiding in her because she got mad so easily.
Yeah.
And would, you know, attack him. So
yeah.
He would shut down.
Yeah. That's the key that I was talking about before, Nancy, because this idea of getting mad doesn't always mean you're throwing something across the room.
Nope.
It's an emotional reaction that will just shut everything down.
Yes. When someone is mad and expresses it in an attacking way, the knee-jerk reaction is to be defensive, to withdraw, to pull back, or to fight back verbally so that you get into this escalated argument that goes nowhere and just creates more damage.
Right, right. I want to ask you this. I know we've got a few minutes left, but I want to ask you, as we recap what we're doing here and what we're talking about, we've talked about some very, very important things. And part of what we've talked about is really looking at how we show up and ask for help. And I want to ask you in these last couple minutes left, I want to ask you, what is our message for people today? What is it that we can share in signs of hope?
First, I guess the first thing I'd want to say is that love isn't enough. You have to have good skills. You have to know how to treat each other with respect. You have to have good anger management, personal emotional management skills, so that you're not contributing damage to the relationship. And you have to want to be committed in a relationship so that you demonstrate loyalty. You don't make fun of your partner. You don't tell nasty stories about her in public.
Right.
You honor, as the gentleman that I told before, he wanted to make sure all of his decisions were honorable. Well, you don't honor your partner if you're making snide remarks about her weight or her clothing or his bad habits. You don't expose your partner in a disrespectful way.
Yeah.
All of that is part of being loyal.
Yeah.
And being committed to building and nurturing this living entity between the two of you called a relationship. The middle-aged couple I was just talking about, they've both done a lot of hard work in the last several weeks and looked at each other's flaws, admitted their individual flaws, and they're learning the skills. They said last week, they told me they have talked more in the last couple of weeks than they have in the first 20 years of their marriage. They've shared more openly. They've been more transparent. I think transparency is one of the characteristics of a healthy relationship. You tell the minute truths, and they're learning how to maintain the priority of their relationship. And I promise them that if they keep doing the things they're doing now, their love for each other will deepen until neither one would do anything to jeopardize the treasure of their relationship. That's why I called it the Millionaire Marriage Club. Not that you'll be a millionaire when you join the club, but that you will create a relationship that is so valuable to you that you will not do anything to jeopardize it.
Yeah.
And these affairs, emotional affairs or pornography or literal affairs, physical affairs, all of those things that are chosen to escape, because you don't have the skills to create the emotional intimacy, I believe that we fall in love because we long for that kind of emotional intimacy. We long to know and be known. We long to be safe with at least one person in the world.
Yes.
And if you don't know how to sustain it, then, and you're not willing to learn, then you're susceptible to these things like affairs of some level or another.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Thank you so much. How can people find out more about you? How can they work with you? All of the above.
Again, go to my website. It's the first place to start, nancylandrum.com. My phone number and email address are listed on the website, or you can just call me directly, 951-239-1134, or email me at nancy@nancylandrum.com.